It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, we've been looking into the book of John, and let me remind you that we're looking at the inspired Word of God. The inspired Word of God is the Bible, and I use the King James Bible, and I believe that is the inspired Word of God. Inspired means God breathed. Now, God used men of old, holy men, to pin down the words that He would want placed into this book, the Bible. And we've been looking into the book and the book of John. And I'd like to pick up there in verse 21 once again of John chapter 3, where it says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light." Well, that person who's done the truth, they have actually come to Jesus Christ, and they've received Him as Lord and Savior. And after they get saved, after a person gets saved, they are to do the truth. In other words, they're to do what is right. It says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light." The light will make manifest now whatever a person is doing, whether it be good or bad. But in the Christians, once again, in the Christian's life, if they're doing what is right, then it's going to be seen by other individuals. And of course, if they're doing wrong, it also will be seen by other individuals. So as Christians, we need to make it a priority in our lives to be seen of the people of this world as being in God. In other words, as doing what is right, as being an ambassador. And I used that the last time as we were together. We are ambassadors for the Lord, and we need to be seen as ambassadors, representative of heaven, representatives of Jesus Christ. Verse 21 of chapter 3 of John says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." We need to let people know that we're saved. We need to let individuals of this world know that we've had a change, that there's been a change in us, not only in our lives, but in us personally. Jesus Christ is the one who needs to be controlling us by the Holy Spirit. We need to be living for the Lord, letting other individuals know that Jesus saves. Well, we go on now in verse 22 of John chapter 3, and it says, "After these things," and the things we've read in John chapter 3, "after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized." Now, if you remember, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. He came to John the Baptist in order to be baptized. Now, he did not come to John the Baptist in order to be saved. He came to John the Baptist to be baptized. And if you remember the account, how that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Well, Jesus came to John to be baptized. And if you'll study the Word of God, you'll find that this was the beginning of his actual ministry on this earth. It was like being confirmed that he was who he said he was, that he was able to go forth and to do the job that the Heavenly Father sent him to do. Well, John the Baptist baptized him. And we pick up here, and it says, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized." Jesus was baptizing individuals as well. He, if you study the Word of God, you know that Jesus Christ is a prophet, priest, and king. He was a prophet, and as he came through, he prophesied. He was a prophet and priest. And today, you and I who are saved, we do not go through a man, another person, to get our prayers to heaven. We go directly to Jesus Christ by saying, "Jesus, Lord, would you hear me now?" And of course, He will if we're saved. And if you're unsaved, He'll hear you if you say, "Lord, forgive me. I want to go to heaven. I want to know once again that that I will be in heaven one day with you. And I know that I will be by trusting you according to the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, you've told me that in your word. If you as an unsaved person will come to Jesus believing that he is God, that he died for you on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried for you, and that he rose from the grave for you, the Bible says that, once again, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him. Ask him to come into your heart. If you'll do that, the Bible says that he'll save you because you've had a change of mind. In other words, you've repented. You've turned about, and you want to go God's way now. And it's through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved, and that you can be saved today by trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, we go back, and it says there in that verse, in verse 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there, that's Jesus, tarried with them, with the disciples, and he baptized. Jesus had the authority to baptize as he went through the land. He had the authority the same as John the Baptist, only once again, his authority was a little higher than John the Baptist, because the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he is the one who gives eternal life, and he is the one who has the authority. Now notice what takes place in verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. People came and they were baptized of John. They wanted something. They needed something. And John was helping them find this. In verse 24, it says, "For John was not yet cast into prison." Well, we know that later on, John was cast into prison. And we'll get to that as we continue reading in the book of John. Verse 24 says, "For John was not yet cast into prison." Verse 25, "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying." And we're going to look here, and we're going to see that they're wondering who has the authority to baptize, and what does it mean? Verse 26 says, "And they came unto John, and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan." Now they're speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus was with him beyond Jordan, "to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." Once again, there's a difference in John the Baptist and Jesus. Jesus had more authority than John the Baptist. How did he have more authority? Once again, it's a fact is that Jesus is the Son of God, and God has ordained him to go through the land here. We see God the Father ordained him to do this. He had the authority of God the Father. And verse 26 once again says, "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth with all men, and all men come to him." Well, John the Baptist did come to bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 27 goes on to say, "And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." See, once again, John the Baptist is letting these people know that he's not Christ, but that he has seen Christ, and so did they. They did not understand at this point. He says, "I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." Well, Jesus came and John baptized him. John recognized him, and he said, "Those who standeth and heareth him rejoiceth because of the bridegroom's voice." John the Baptist knew who Jesus Christ was. He knew that he had been sent from God. He knew that he was the Son of God, and that he was the one who had the authority to go about telling people, "You must be born again." We've already read that in John chapter 3. You must be born again. Jesus had the authority to do that. And he was the one who was representing God. This is Jesus. But he is also God. He's representing the fact that he is the Savior of the world. Now, I want to read that verse once again, John chapter 3 and verse 29. John said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." Well, now we know, and we keep reading in the Word of God, and we find out that there was something that was formed on this earth. And that something that was formed was the church. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the one who is the head. He is the one who's in charge of the church of Jesus Christ. Now, that church is one who is represented in this world by local churches. And the people who make up those local churches, those people who have been saved, they are the bride. They are the bride of Christ. Jesus is the bridegroom. It says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Jesus Christ has all saved people today. He is the one who is protecting those people. He is the one who gives eternal life. Now, I say protecting. He has given his life that you and I, as saved people, will live forever. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. And he rose from the grave. He has eternal life. He is alive. He's never had a beginning. Now, I'm speaking of God. Jesus Christ was God, and he is God. And we know that as a human being, he was born of a virgin. He came into this world just as you and I came into this world. He was born as a human being. Now, God was not born, but Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ is 100% man. He was 100% God. Now, my finite mind cannot conceive of everything, but I take by faith what God has said in his word, that Jesus Christ is God, and Jesus Christ was also a human being who suffered more than anyone else has ever suffered in this life. He suffered for you. He suffered for me. John said that he that hath the bride, the church is the bride. The Bible tells us that one day Jesus is coming back in the clouds of glory. And he's going to say, "Come up hither." And those people who have trusted Jesus Christ right now through this age that we live in, those people who make up the bride, the church of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm speaking of the bride of Christ. Those people who have trusted him as Lord and Savior. Jesus is going to say, "Come up hither." And those of us who are saved, those of us who are in who are his church, his bride, we're going to go up to be with the Lord forever and ever. Why? Because we've been saved. We have eternal life. We are the bride of Christ. What a great privilege it is to know that one day we're going to see him personally, face to face. And I said he's coming back in the clouds. He's going to say, "Come up hither." The Bible says that we which are alive and remain after those people who have gone on before us, those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to be forever with him, forever, forever, and forever. Saved person has nothing to fear. Whether we go in the rapture of the church or whether the breath of life leaves us before Jesus comes back in the rapture of the church, it makes no difference. We're still going to see the Lord. We're going to be with him, and we're going to rejoice forevermore, because he has given us eternal life, and we need to be rejoicing right now, even before we see our Heavenly Father and before we see our Savior, Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.